Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR. And Faisal, we just finished up a great quarter, as we've talked about. Yep. We came off a terrible quarter last quarter. Things are all over the place. We've got to make some sense of this for people.
And I think people are, at least here in Alberta, are looking at the Alberta or Calgary economy and reflecting that as a part of the global economy. There's been many people I've sat down with, Dave, that say to me, well, we're not getting pipelines and we're right. not, and Alberta's not growing, so the stock market's going to fall. So right. the U.S. market's not going to do well.
Right. Like, so we got to get out of stocks,
yeah,
right? Because
yeah.
we can't get a pipeline in Alberta.
Yeah.
Right.
So that, so I think we need to kind of, talk about what's happening in the world and kind of give us a global view of things, and then we can always bring it down to Canada and maybe even Alberta if we possibly can on that.
Yeah, yeah, and we're going to have, we've got a terrific reoccurring guest joining us again today, Shay Chatria. He's the Director of Canadian Strategies at Russell Investments. Shay, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's put you just kind of on the spot right off the bat. I'd like to start at a very high level, macroeconomic level, and maybe you can give us just a bit of a sense, or our listeners a bit of a sense, Shay, as to where you think we are from a global macro perspective, and then we'll kind of drill down into some different areas.
Sure, and it's interesting how you guys noted that performance has been quite strong for the first quarter, but if you look at what's happening in from a financial market perspective, relative to what's kind of been going on from a macroeconomic perspective, there's almost a dichotomy or a dichotomy between the two. And I think it does help to sort of set the stage in terms of what has transpired, not over just the last quarter, but over the last two quarters. I think will help explain where we are right now and where we could potentially be going down the line. I mean, in Q4 of 2018 was a bit of a rough patch, as we know. The equity markets did sell off. And there was a lot of tension that was being built in at that point in time. And what I think it's important for the audience to understand is what caused those tensions, right? So there were a few things, because the U.S. economy was growing pretty strong for 2018 overall. But what had transpired is, one is financial conditions were incrementally tightening, were getting tighter throughout the year. So you had the Federal Reserve raise rates four times in 2018, and then the last one of their rate hikes coming in December. Even the Bank of Canada raised rates, but more importantly, the Fed had raised rates four times. And behind the scenes, we had, of course, the trade tensions, which were mounting with the uncertainty with regards to the U.S. and China. And China, so you had the trade tensions as well as the Chinese economy had been slowing. There's been an obvious slowing that was taking place in the Chinese economy, and that obviously had a broader effect on emerging economies, but not only emerging markets, but also the European economy had a bit of a slowdown. So you had this global growth and global trade flow start to slow over the fourth quarter. And at the same time, you had investors starting to get concerned about the U.S. economy, which was also starting to show signs of deceleration, especially as the prior stimulus from taxes and prior tax stimulus as well as fiscal stimulus starts to fade.
Yep.
With the backdrop of the Fed raising rates and projecting to continue to raise rates. That obviously caused a lot of tension for the financial markets. You had the sell-off in Q4. And then what really changed and what helped the first quarter returns this year in 2019 had been almost an about-face that has taken place from global central bankers. You had the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Canada, the New Zealand Central Bank, as well as Australia. So across the board, you had global central bankers saying, you know what? We heard what the markets have been telling us. We see the data that's coming through from the global economy, and things are softening, and we need to take a breather in terms of the pace of rate increases. And that is what the markets started getting a little bit more comfortable with the central banks holding back on further tightening of financial conditions. And you can argue that fourth quarter of last year, equity markets probably sold off, probably got a little bit oversold. So in Q1, we had a little bit of a catch-up phase. So we had a really strong first quarter of 2019.
Shay, can I just jump in here?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask a question. I think some people have a hard time understanding that when last year, when the Federal Reserve or other central banks, including Bank of Canada, were raising interest rates, the markets and people were getting concerned about that. Now, some people will say we raise interest rates when the economy is doing well, when it's over frothiness. And so, and then when we hear that, okay, we're not going to raise interest rates or we're going to have a slowdown in that, we start seeing the markets recover. So can you kind of give a breakdown for our listeners of why interest rates going up mean bad things for the stock market? And when interest rates are not going up, that's a good thing for the stock market.
And that's a great question. So, as I mentioned, the Federal Reserve had raised rates four times, right? So initially, to your point, when they initially start the process of increasing rates, it actually is due to the conviction around the strength of the economy, of the strength of the domestic economy. And therefore, the equity markets, when the central banks just initially start raising rates, are actually comforted by that fact that there is conviction from the central bank that the economy is doing strong and inflation pressures are building for the right reasons. And therefore, the economy can withstand higher interest rates. That backdrop is not necessarily a bad backdrop from an equity market perspective, because you're still at the initial stages of the pace of rate increases. Now, what's happened in the U.S. is they hiked rates four times in 2018, as we know, but they also hiked rates three to four times back in 2017. So there have been a sequence of rate increases that have been happening over the last couple of years. So we're a little bit further into the rate hiking cycle, you can argue, albeit interest rates are still fairly low from a historical perspective, but we were further into the rate tightening cycle. And it is now when the equity markets really start to get a little bit more concerned is the Fed, or any central bank for that matter, are they over tightening financial conditions, that it's not just related to the strength, but now there's potentially over-tightening that's taking place that actually can impede prospective growth going forward, because interest rates have become a little bit too high relative to the pace of growth that is expected. And it's that, you know, there isn't an exact science in terms of determining what that inflection point is, but oftentimes you have to look at the data, and what the data was starting to show was that we were seeing signs of slowing in the U.S. economy as well as the global economy, and the Federal Reserve, which was fairly intent on just continuing a tightening cycle of three to four rate hikes. And the first, you know, let's call it, you know, six rate hikes or so, the markets were able to look through, especially with the stimulus that came from the U.S. But as the stimulus was fading and you still had the Federal Reserve, which was signaling higher rates at a point in time when the rate of growth was starting to show signs of slowing, that's what kind of got the markets a little bit more spooked.
Okay, we're going to finish up this segment. We got a couple minutes left, Shay, but let's finish it up on this as a bit of a tease to the next segment. What are the big events that investors need to be watching in 2019? What do we got to keep our eye on? And then the next segment, we'll talk a little bit about how to position for those things today. Okay, so give us your take on what the big events are that we need to watch.
So in terms of the big events, I think there's a couple. So we covered one, but central banks will still, I think, run the show. So we still need to keep an eye on that. And then the other big one, which is part of the problem, is, and we kind of touched on it, but is also trade tensions that are taking place and that are still there. They haven't been completely resolved, but what transpires on that front will also have implications for the trajectory of financial markets as well as the economy.
All right. We're going to get your assumptions about what that might look like by the end of the year at the next segment. You want to stick around for that. But before we sign off on this segment, Faisal, we've got to talk a little bit about our upcoming seminar, because we have to make sense of all this.
Yeah. And how does it impact your retirement? How do you bulletproof and protect during volatile markets? And more importantly, how do you make sure you have income for life? We'll discuss that on Tuesday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats, so give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or go to our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Should you sell all your equities right now? Well, stick around after the break because we're going to get a sense from Shea of where we're going for the rest of this year. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.